We're going places. We're a church that's always on the go. As a matter of fact, well, let's see, we started out at Mill Plain Elementary School, and we went from there. We were going from there to Fisher's Grange Hall, and we went from Fisher's Grange Hall to Vancouver Tech Center. And the plan was for us to go from Vancouver Tech Center to a temporary location in Lincoln and Kirsten's backyard. Until the forest fires and the wildfires and the grass fires converged, and we said, let's not have toxic church where as we're trying to praise Jesus, we're choking. That seems not to be a good plan. So here we are, the online Church of Christ. But it's not a big deal. That is, Christ's church are a people that are constantly going and dealing with whatever comes, because no matter what the circumstances are, we're telling him, we're telling Jesus, we're paying attention to you. Your words, your preferences take precedence over my preferences, take precedence over my fears. So here we are, masked up, spread out all over the country, still praising God because that's who we are. That's what we do. And it's not about circumstances. This idea of going has to do with Jesus' last words. He said, go into all the world and take this message. Preach the good news. The last things that were on his mind at the end of his life carry a little bit more weight. And as they were sharing in that communion service, in that Passover service, his friends were being especially attentive. It was in those final moments that Jesus said in John 14, but what gives us peace is going to move ahead of him. He says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. If you love me, obey my words. And I'm going to ask the Father, and the Father will give you the Comforter. And he will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit. He who leads us into truth. And the world may not understand him, but you know him. Because he lives with you now. But then he's going to live in you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to abandon you like orphans. I'll come and be with you. The times were getting darker and darker. You think the sky's been weird in the Pacific Northwest the last few days? These guys were so surrounded by the reality around them, and they knew these were dark days, and they were filled with fear. And so Jesus looks them square in the eyes and he says, I'm leaving, but I'm not abandoning you. You're not going to be alone, because if I leave, that gives God the wherewith to send the Spirit. And you know the Spirit because he's been doing things around you. You've been seeing him. He's been with you. But when I go, he's going to live in you. So don't feel alone. When we do spread out church, or when we do congregated church, it's the same Spirit. And I just think Jesus was being so sweet to his friends, so kind. And here at this moment, when he should have been so tuned into his own disaster, he knew what was about to happen. He knew how gruesome it was going to be. He saw their sorrow, and he saw their hurts, and he saw their wounds. And so he reaches out with words of comfort, or he better said, he reaches out with words about the Comforter. But also in those same final moments, and remember, final moments carry extra weight. He says, go to all the world. Take this message to them. So, we're going. We're the goers. Going is what we do. It'd be nice if we knew exactly where we were going, if we had destination spots, but he's saying, no, 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 no. Not destination, not once you get there. This is really about being present and being my presence as you go. As a matter of fact, the Greek, a really specific language, that is exactly what it says. It's not preach the word as you go, it's as you go in the process, in the journey, carry this with you. So here we are with courage and with peace. And if we're honest, with a little bit of anxiety, we're going. We're the ones that realize that this moment might carry some weight, but we're also going with a sense of anticipation. The next few weeks, we're gonna be doing this series about going. I want to encourage you to not miss a moment, only because this is going to be journey language. There's going to be a specific process. As a matter of fact, in a few minutes when we're done here, some of you are going to be scratching your head and saying, what just happened? What did Kevin lead us through? Because I didn't even understand this. This is one of those that if you want to understand everything, you sort of need to not miss. So I encourage you to set aside the next few Sundays at 5 p.m. aside so that you don't miss any of the pieces of the puzzle. We're going to be using as our guide the book of Romans, the letter to a church in Rome. It was written by the Apostle Paul, and this book is an amazing piece. As far as the New Testament goes, the first four books tell about Jesus. The Gospels tell the story of Jesus. And the book of Acts tells the story about how the church comes to life and says, this is our message. This is where we're going to go with this. And then the very next book is the book of Romans. And it's written to this specific church in the city of Rome. But in this message, Paul has some of the most deep, rich theology. On the other hand, he's explained some deep things so simply that we're going to sort of use the book of Romans as a guide. We're not going to really do it justice because it is rich and thick and hearty. But this is going to be one of those studies where you're going, I think I got a grip. I think I got a grasp on what happens in that particular letter. In this thing, Paul's just... he's brilliant. He comes across with some beautiful insights. It's going to be, for our part, a Bible study of sorts. And so I want to encourage you next Sunday at 5 o'clock that you have your Bible with you. I want to encourage you to read the first few chapters of Romans. You just read as much as you like. And I would also encourage you to read as if you were a new Christian. You just found out about this Jesus stuff, and Paul's telling you about who we are as a people and where we are, what's the word, going. The church of God is his home, is his dwelling place. We are God's home address. When Jesus left, and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. God the Son brought the message. God the Father sent the one to carry the message in us. And then God the Spirit moves in us and speaks through us. And so this is just this remarkable, beautiful moment. And it's a big deal that we sort of see ourselves as part of this picture. So I'm in this story. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, you are in this story. And the story of Jesus it's dynamic. It's rich. It's not It's not a cute little story about Jesus. It's not a charming story. It's not written for inspiration. He wasn't just a good man. He was the presence of God that was stepping into the world to say, hey, this story is not just important, it's transformational. This is life-changing. So this is one of those things that if you catch the message of the book of Romans, you're never going to be the same again. That doesn't just make this a nice Bible study for us. That means we ought to be sliding to the front of our seats going, what's next? What's the next part? This story has been handed to us. So when Jesus said, go, and as you go, take this message, we're the ones that are going, pick me. I'm ready. I want to go. This study is going to be a process, a journey. It'll provide us some tools in saying, oh, I am part of this story, and I have some of that authoritative, bold, beautiful words of Jesus to share with other people. You know what's crazy? If God had this amazing message, he could have carved it into the mountains. And everybody looks at the mountains and says, well, there's the word of God, and I get it now. He could have carved it into the sky so we just look up and realize what God wants. Instead, the word of God was sent in a single man in the story of Jesus. As a matter of fact, John starts out his story of Jesus by saying, Jesus was the word of God. He was the expression of God. And he's the one that carries this transformational message. And then, as if not carving it on the sky, but sending it through Jesus weren't amazing, it gets even more amazing, more crazy. And that is, now, when I leave, says Jesus, I'm going to leave this message with you, and with you, and with you. And we're going, you could have carved it on the mountains. Instead, I'm the one. Let me tell you something about God, if you haven't figured this out already. He's totally into collaboration. Things happen in God communities. As a matter of fact, God is a community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They started out as this community, and then they said, wait, let's make man in our image. This kind of community is made for others. And then when the saving message of Jesus came, he says, no, I'm not going to carve it into the mountains. It's not the mountains. It's those that are made in my image. They're the ones that are going to carry this message. We are not incidental to what God is doing and creating. So in this series, I want you to ponder the weight of Jesus' last words. His last words were, I'm going to send a comforter, and he's going to reveal things to you, and he's going to live in you. His last words were, so go, carry this message. My brother-in-law passed away several years ago. His final words were to my sister, I'm finally going to be set free. Those words were important, not just because they were his last words to her, but because, honestly, he came home from the Vietnam experience, and his heart was undone. And he tried to fill the void with drug and with alcohol, and he destroyed a marriage, and it was ugly. And he left behind him a brutal story of mayhem and chaos. But in the end, Jesus found his heart again. His last words were beautiful, deep, rich. My mom's last words were a little bit whimsical. She lay in the hospital room. One of my nephews comes in, and he kneels down beside his bed and holds her hand, and he just begins to weep. Weep from a deep place. And she puts her hand on his head and she says, "I'm not dead yet." It wasn't very deep or rich, but it was kind of an indication of who my mom was and her sense of humor. And we laughed hysterically, and a few hours later, she also was free. Last words just carry some weight. And so I just want to urge you, as we begin a study of the book of Romans, that you allow the weight of Jesus' words to land there. Each week we're going to divide up our conversation into two sections. The first section will be a study of the book of Romans. And this will be a beautiful overview of Paul's message to Rome. It'll be good. It'll be helpful. Again, I want to encourage you to bring a Bible with you to jot down some things here and there. This is a guy who's hungry to tell the story himself. And it's kind of interesting because he's telling it to people who already love Jesus, who already have a relationship with Jesus. But he's saying to them, guys, this is the choice that we've made. This is the decision. As you read on your own time, beginning at chapter 1, I would encourage you to read like the first 3 chapters. As you do that this week, pay attention to what Paul thinks about righteousness, rightness with God. It comes up often because it's what we've been called to, and it seems so far and nebulous and way out there. Like, see if it creates any angst in you about, well, I'm anything but righteous. It's going to start off the book of Romans with some hard things about sin. Sin is just those things that separate us from the perfect righteousness of God. And so as you read that, get ready to wrestle. So the first part of our conversation will be study. The second part, for a while, is going to make no sense at all. We're going to play some games. I am such a game player. We're going to play some memory games. As a matter of fact, we're going to start right now. This will be a little bit embarrassing if you're sitting there with your family or if you're sitting by yourself. If you're sitting in a restaurant or a coffee shop, it's going to be remarkably embarrassing because I'm going to ask you to say these words with me right now. Repeat after me. Sin. Salvation. 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 Selection. Selection. Service. Service. Sin, salvation, salvation, selection, service. Say it.
Sin, salvation, salvation, selection, service.
That's really good. Say it again. Sin, salvation, salvation, selection, service. Okay, all those S words, all 5 of them, let them sink in a little bit deeper. That's going to come to mean more to you later on, because sin, salvation, salvation, selection, service is sort of an outline of the book of Romans. Remember when I asked you to read chapters 1:1 through chapters 3:0, verse 20 or so? See what he says about sin as it's compared to righteousness. Say it with me one more time. Sin, salvation, salvation, selection, service. Now before we go, I got one more goofy game. It'll be a challenge to see if you can remember these. The reason why I want you to say it out loud is saying it out loud takes it to a part of the brain where it'll be easier for you to recollect. But this will make even less sense to you. Repeat after me. 2.5, 2.5, 3.3, 3.5.
2.5, 2.5, 3.3, 3.5.
Again, 2.5, 2.5, 3.3, 3.5. The first 2.5 chapters of Romans are about sin. The next 2.5 chapters are about salvation. The next 3 chapters are about salvation from a different perspective. The next 3 chapters are about a people that are selected. And 2.5, 2.5, 3, 3, 3.5. And the last 3.5 chapters are about service. Let's do the words again. Here we go. Sin, salvation, salvation, selection, service. Let's do the numbers. 2.5, 2.5, 3, 3, 3.5. There will be a test on this next week. It'll be a big challenge for you. Thank you for fixing that. Let's close with this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of masks and tired of smoke and tired of not going to work, and I'm tired of being at my house, and I'm tired of being with small groups, and I'm tired of coffee houses and restaurants that are poorly attended, and I'm tired. I'm weary of this. The truth is, I really need a win. Do you know what I'm talking about? Could we just have one day? Could we wake up tomorrow and the sky be blue? Could we wake up tomorrow and the governor from our state says, hey, you've got permission, it's safe to do this? Could I just have a win as far as my emotional health? Could I just wake up tomorrow and not be filled with anxiety? I'd just like to wake up tomorrow without a headache and a sore throat from this smoke. I just need a win. That win idea, it's sort of part of Jesus' last wish for us. That is, he says, go into all the world and share the gospel. That word gospel, it's actually a military word. It actually has to do with victory. More specifically, it has to do with victory that's already been attained. A general who's not exactly on the front lines, but is orchestrating a war, he has somebody that returns from the front line and says, sir, we've won the battle. Victory is ours. That's the meaning of gospel. The message Jesus gave us is not just memorizing a 5-point lesson from the book of Romans. No, he was at the end of his life saying, guys, we win. And no matter how crazy things get, and remember other things that were happening in the city of Rome as Paul was carrying this message to these people, folks who believed in Jesus were also being crucified and fed to lions and were being literally torn apart. It was a gruesome, hideous time for believers. This COVID virus, it's been the weirdest, hardest thing that I've experienced in my lifetime as far as what we've experienced as a country and as far as what's happening around the world. It's been weird. And in the midst of a lot of weird back then, Jesus says, you're the messengers of hope. This victory is assured. And so this week, I encourage you to fight on. In a battle, it's difficult. In a battle, it's easy to get discouraged. But the truth is this. Paul was carrying a message, and you'll read this in the first chapter. He was carrying a message where the temptation was, wait a second. Oh, right now, Mike's wishing he had his phone in his pocket, not in his coat. Paul was carrying this lovely message where honestly he says, I know it's hard and you're going to get discouraged, but don't wilt under the weight. You got this. Paul was saying to those people in the city of Rome, he said, I'm not ashamed. Let me read his words to you. He said, I'm not ashamed of this good news, this gospel about Christ. This good news, it's the power of God. And it's at work, and it's saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right, makes us righteous in his sight. And this is accomplished by start to finish through faith. This week, I would just want to encourage you to take a deep breath, to rest in his arms, to know that we have victory, that it is obtained, and it all happens as you trust him in faith. May this week be marked in your life by faith. I love you. We'll see you soon.